This is an iHeart podcast. Guaranteed human.
What's up, y'all? Summer's got a different tempo. Everything's a little looser, brighter. One plan turns into another. You hear something, you stay a little longer. Next thing you know, you're somewhere you didn't plan to be. It's those in-between moments. That's where the ideas hit. Conversations stretch out, little memories sneak up on you. And sometimes it's just about what's in your hand. That color, that chill. The new Tropical Butterfly Refresher from Starbucks. Guava and passion fruit flavors with mango pineapple flavored pearls. Yeah, that feels like summer before you even taste it. Funny how one small stop becomes the best part of the day. Start your summer rhythm with Starbucks. Try the new Tropical Butterfly Refresher from Starbucks.
Hey everyone, it's Cal Penn. I'm inviting you to join the best-sounding book club you've ever heard with my podcast, Hearsay, the Audible and iHeart audiobook club. Every episode, I nerd out with amazing guests and dive into the best new audiobooks available on Audible. It's the book club for your ears. Listen to Hearsay, the Audible and iHeart audiobook club on the iHeart Radio app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Welcome to the Murphy, Sam, and Jody After the Show podcast.
Really behind the scenes today is that Sam had his last solid snack for a while, just a few minutes ago. What was your snack?
Banana.
Okay. That's a soft food, man. You could have gone stronger, but whatever. So you have to go on all liquids starting now.
Starting now.
Wait, for 24 hours?
Well, no.
Well, yeah, it is 24 hours.
Yeah.
Oh, wow.
Because you're having a colonoscopy tomorrow around this time.
Yeah. around lunchtime tomorrow.
The reason I even bring it up, there's so much to talk about, but that whole you can only have liquids is never a good day for me. Like, I didn't enjoy it. I had Jell-O and broth last time. And after a while, you're just like, I'd rather have nothing because this is not real food. That's what was going on in my brain. But you don't have a problem with it, do you?
No, it doesn't bother me. Because to me, it's only I got to get through this afternoon and tonight, and then I'm good because tomorrow will take care of itself.
Yeah, certainly will.
Well, actually, tonight will take care of itself, if you know what I mean.
I guess I just didn't realize that it had to be 24 hours. It's because I've had one done. Mm-hmm. But I don't remember being a whole morning through. I thought it was in the afternoon at one point, cut off, boom, I'm done. Nothing after 12 p.m. or something like that.
Yeah, and then it was 10 a.m. that liquid diet started. And then 6 o'clock tonight is the, I have to take the first bottle of...
Drink.
Clean out fluid.
You create the drink? Mix?
I have two bottles of it.
Ugh.
And I have to pour it in, and they said I can mix it with a carbonated drink or water or whatever.
Carbonated drink? Wow.
Yeah.
Okay.
I can't have dairy. Like, if I want iced tea, that's good. Or coffee was good. I had coffee.
Yeah, I can't have dirty soda.
I just can't put cream or anything like that in it.
Yeah.
Okay.
And you can live without that.
And I bought some, because I've been drinking those Dr. Pepper, the coconut, creamy coconut.
Oh, man.
So I figured, well, let me try to do something right. So I've got iced tea and I've got a ginger ale drink.
Very good.
Yeah. So at least that'll be semi-clear-ish.
I
got Gatorades and I got Jell-O.
Oh, you're good with Jell-O then.
Yeah.
And but the thing about it is, it's the night of the prep is not fun at all. The next day is not fun at all. But once you are underway, that thing, I don't know how long it takes or how quickly it happens, but it's a blur to you because you're going to be on the best sleeping medicine there is.
Mm-hmm.
I had one and I begged them to let me keep sleeping when I was waking up in recovery. I begged them. I was like, please let me sleep. This is so good. And she was like, no, ma'am, you got to get up. Your husband's outside waiting for you.
Yeah.
You were out there waiting for me, Murphy.
Yeah.
So do you remember? I don't think that Murphy is very good at only being on liquid stuff. He doesn't like it. I don't think that you're good at it.
Well,
I don't remember, that. Honestly, I don't know why I'm not remembering because it's been, I guess, 5 years since the last time I had done.
That's why.
And I mean, I know that they moved me last time to the pills thing like Jody did, which was a lot easier than drinking the liquid stuff.
Sorry,
because
Sam.
The liquid to me, and again, look, it's different. By my palate's yeah. different than yours, Sam. So it's probably the same thing.
If I could take a pill, that'd be so much easier.
Right, because it's a salt. It's sort of a salty, just kind of a
It doesn't go down easily.
And I don't like that. So the pills were easier because you would take the pills, but then you had to drink a lot of water. You know, right after.
I have to drink the bottle, which I think is a 6-ounce bottle, but then I have to, within that first hour, drink 32 ounces of water.
Right.
And then
another
bottle tomorrow morning at 7, I think, and then drink 32 ounces of water before 8. So I may be in and out tomorrow.
Okay. I guess there's never going to be a way for this test to be done differently. There's no other way to clean all that out. I wish there would be.
Well,
it's just such a pain. People don't want to do it, and it's important to do it.
I think it's better than it used to be because they used to, I mean, the first time that I ever had it done, which was really at a very young age. I don't know why I had it done so young the first time, but the stuff was even worse tasting.
Mm-hmm.
So at least they've improved that now.
Yeah.
Even the liquid stuff that you're taking, Sam, is going to be better than, you know, the stuff that I had to mix up and drink previously.
It was now, originally, I did that home test. I can't remember what the name of it is, but I did that and I was good.
The test. Okay.
You don't want to know. Trust me.
Thanks. No, I don't.
And I was good. And then the next time I had to do it, the home test showed it wasn't a positive, but it wasn't a full negative.
Meaning it wasn't a colonoscopy.
So it was like, okay,
get your butt in here.
You got to come in. We got to make sure. And they did find a few polyps, took them off and all that stuff. So this time, the doctor said, you got to get another one. And I was like, well, can I do the home thing again? He goes, no, once you get a positive the first time.
Well, yeah, because once they're removing polyps, I always thought that look, I'm not saying it's not legit, but the first time you told us about that, I'm like, that sounds really sketch.
I'm just gonna do it my way.
Mail-in, that sounds really sketch.
It's not sketch.
It's not a full diagnostic. Mm-hmm. I mean, it's not. I would much rather have them go in, look, see, and then tell me all's clear versus a test that I hope something on my insides, you know what I mean, that the test is not going to throw a false negative or something. That's just me, though. You know, I'm a diagnostic person.
I think it's
as far as
your choice if you wanted to take one at home.
As far as colonoscopy goes, I don't really care about it because it's like my mom was like, are you worried? And it's like, honestly, the only thing that worries me is the needle stick in my hand. I don't, because like you said, I'm going to be out for it. I don't care.
Well, you'll be super hydrated, so the needle stick should be easier.
Yeah, just look away.
You're hydrated.
You'll be fine with that.
It literally plumps up your veins.
You know, one time when I had a procedure done on my teeth, the guy that put the needle or whatever, the IV in my hand, he sprayed it with this freezy stuff first. So you didn't even feel it when he stuck it in. And it's like, man, I wish everybody used that.
Me too. I wish you wouldn't have told me that.
Okay.
I get stuck kind of a lot.
It's not my favorite, but I guess I've had it done so many times now. You just kind of deal with it, and it is what it is.
Once that part's done, I'm good. Yeah. It's just like I got to sit there for an hour and a half and wait until they take me back.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. But, you know, the thing is, once you get through it again, you have a definitive answer, which to me, and maybe that's my own obsessive about actually having answers to the thing. It's the same reason that I do the little lung scan or whatever kind of stuff. I love that technology can make some things easier, but I want a doctor's eyes on some things, you know, for me to make sure that it's really that I'm getting an actual answer versus something that, you know, shows up as red or green on a sheet of paper somewhere.
I do have a couple of questions for him, the doctor, tomorrow before we start, because it just out of curiosity, I want to know how far they go.
Ooh. Okay.
So just like, is this like 4 feet or is this like 12 inches?
I guess that's a fair question.
I mean, just personal curiosity. It won't affect anything to do with the procedure, but it's just like, I really would like to know.
Yeah.
You know, how far is it going? What are you doing?
Well, I guess they're just looking in your colon. At one point, they don't go to your long intestines. So they're only going to however long the colon is. And I'm trying to remember the picture of that from biology. The length of the colon is only a couple of feet, right? I mean, isn't it the big thing that kind of wraps around?
I think it is. That's the big thing.
Yeah.
I think so.
So
I'm not going to be tickling my throat or anything.
No. No.
What's been funny?
Now, I know they have that endoscope at home. I could do this all at home.
Right. Well, you know, and the thing is, last time I had it done, I had both done because they were going through my throat also, which are two different, you know. They're the same procedure with two different hoses.
They meet in the middle.
They were looking at two different things.
Right, exactly.
It's not the same procedure exactly. But what's been funny is these last couple of days, these here at work, Sam keeps getting these calls and leaving the room. And some of them you've taken in this room where they're asking you 100 million questions.
Yeah.
I don't remember being asked this many questions for, you know, unless I had serious surgery, like when I had foot surgery.
Honestly,
they have been asking you everything.
What Murphy just said about not remembering all the stuff because it was a few years ago.
Yeah.
Mine was 3 years ago, according to my doctor, and I don't remember. I remember the facility. I remember cracking a joke when they said roll over on your side. And that's all I remember.
Yeah.
But I don't remember all these phone calls. I've got a phone call from the surgery center. I've got a phone call about my insurance questions, and I got a phone call from the overall health company, and they basically all asked the same questions.
But didn't they ask some unusual questions about like injuries?
Oh, yeah.
What your home life is like?
They asked me, you know, in these surgeries in the past, we have these listed. And I was like, yeah, that pretty much is all the ones I have. And okay, well, if for any reason you happen to injure the area that is going to be under the surgery or the procedure, please let us know. And I was like, I don't think I will, but sure.
That's fair.
I'm guessing they're asking questions based on things that actually happen all the time.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I mean, they're, especially with people who are not comfortable. I mean, some people have a real fear for any of these kinds of procedures.
Yeah.
Or they're embarrassed and they don't want to talk about certain things. So I think they've just become more thorough over time. I think the other part is insurance, mm-hmm. and the thoroughness of the, you know, what medications are you taking? And it's all the risk management part of everything associated with it. Because, you know, there's so many medicines that people take now that procedures like these that involve them removing a polyp, they don't want you to bleed.
Yeah.
And so that's why they don't want you taking aspirin. And they're going to verify a couple of different times because it's too late to ask that. And they will probably ask you again before you get, you know, when they're giving you the IVs tomorrow. When was the last time that you had any, you know, thing to eat or drink? When was the last time that you had? Because, again, they're verifying everything. They've got to.
When one of the calls, when she started going through my medication, you're taking this and then you're taking that. When she got to the second one, I was like, if you're reading this from my chart, everything in there is correct.
Yeah.
But because risk management or whatever.
She still had to.
I understand that, but I still have to go over all of them with you.
Good.
Like, okay.
Okay.
Yeah. And then she had to give me instructions like, don't do any of those. You can take this one tomorrow, you know, before, but don't take the rest until after your procedure.
Yeah. I feel like I remember being told by a nurse that maybe it was for yours, Murphy. I don't know. I just remember being told that, people who try to tell you that they didn't have anything to eat in 24 hours but do, they try to fudge that. Of course, it's a problem.
Yeah.
They cannot do what they're trying to do. And you've wasted
cancel
everybody's
it and send you
time.
Back and let you reschedule.
Right, because they can't. So you can't fudge it. You know, if you accidentally drank some coffee with cream, you need to let them know and you'll have to reschedule, things like that. Like, it's that serious.
Sometimes it changes the outcome of the test, but anytime you're on any sort of sedation, they don't want anything on your stomach because it's a real choking risk for you.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, you're going to sleep. You're not under full anesthesia. If you were under full anesthesia, they would have oxygen and everything else attached to you and an anesthesiologist there, which now I'm not trying. I don't remember if they actually do in this case or not. I guess they do.
So
they're sedating you to the point where they've got.
It's the IV anesthesia.
Yeah. So you've got. So there is somebody that's having to regulate, you know, that there. But
that's why the sleep after is so good.
But I guess, you know, you're not being put on anything that breathes for you. And so as a result of that, you know, they want to make sure that you don't have any food in your stomach.
Here's a weird one. As I know this wasn't last time, but she asked, you know, when she was going over, you have these medical conditions, da 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 da. And she said apnea. And I was like, well, yeah, I sleep apnea. Do you have a CPAP? Yeah, I sleep with a CPAP. Okay, you're going to need to bring that with you. And I was like, I didn't last time. And she says, well, no, bring it with you because while you're maybe I could choke myself awake. I don't know.
Wow.
I'm going to bring it, but I'm going to talk to the doctor.
Right.
Like, do I really need to hook this up and all of this contraption while you're going the other way?
Yeah, that's a first. I've never heard that.
There's a reason they're updating policies, though. There's some reason.
Yeah, for me, I just always make sure that they know, keep me upright. That's the main thing for me. Don't put me on my back. You know, I have to be upright. On my side is fine, but I've got
to
be.
You'll be on your side.
On your side is not a problem for me, but if they were to wheel me back in and I'm too much of a not an incline that I should be, that's where the CPAP thing becomes a problem for me.
That's part of Murphy's claustrophobia.
And by the way,
well,
because
when you have sleep apnea, your airwaves closing off. So the farther you are back, you can't breathe. So I guess it plays into claustrophobia for sure.
Yeah.
But it's a feeling of not being able to breathe. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So now you're underway. Liquids only.
Yeah.
Don't worry, we won't bring a pizza in here to tempt you.
Oh, you know what I have at home in the fridge? Leftovers, birria tacos, and red beans and rice.
Oh!
Well, at least you can eat them after the procedure's done.
Please them now.
Or I could have some fun.
No.
Missed any part of the show? Get it all on the Murphy, Sam, and Jody podcast.
Morning people wake up for peace and quiet. McDonald's breakfast people, we wake up for the sweet rush of getting that warm, delicious breakfast right before it ends.
Hotcakes, sausage patty, hash browns, scrambled eggs, biscuit, real butter and syrup. You know how our big breakfast got its name, and you know where your whole family can share one for just $6. McDonald's. Limited time only. Price and participation may vary. Cannot be combined with any other offer or combo meal.
Ba-da-ba-ba-ba.
Hey everyone, it's Cal Penn. I'm inviting you to join the best sounding book club you've ever heard with my podcast, Hearsay, the Audible and iHeart Audiobook Club. Every episode, I nerd out with amazing guests and dive into the best new audiobooks available on Audible. It's the book club for your ears. Listen to Hearsay, the Audible and iHeart Audiobook Club on the iHeartRadio app or wherever you get your podcasts.